History's greatest monster.
Tom Quackenbush.
We should introduce ourselves. I'm Tom Quackenbush.
History's greatest monster.
History's greatest monster, also a fantasy author.
Is there a difference?
Is there a difference? We'll talk about John Green in this episode.
Nice. His lovely wife who I'm talking over is Amber Hawkinson. And she's
Amber Hawk.
Hawk, sorry. I'll edit that out because...
Can't I introduce myself, Daniel?
No.
Shouldn't at least my husband be the one introducing me?
Well, I mean...
You're not even worth a $10 bill to me.
Aww.
No, you have a point. I guess it's not funny because it would just, be normal behavior from anyone else. All right, I apologize, no. Amber. You should go.
No, you should finish introducing me.
No,
tell them about me.
It's too late.
Nope, tell them about me.
No, I can't.
Tell them your secret view on me. What do you really think, Daniel?
I don't really have secret views.
He doesn't.
I guess.
He's pretty much on the surface about
so
that.
So what's your on-surface opinion of me?
I don't know. You're swell.
Okay. Swell.
I'd do ya. That's the opinion that counts, right?
Yeah.
It's true. So, that's what we're saying about
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner's
exactly. Also on the list now.
Yes.
And we have...
We already talked about her, though.
Daniel Evans.
That was me. I was being the asshole. Because, sometimes it's funny to pretend to be one. But if you find yourself doing that too often, you're actually just an asshole.
It's true. So.
And if you become an asshole, you'll slowly poop yourself out.
You think that.
Yeah.
Or, oh, fine, you'll only expel shit.
Maybe you become, like a sort of infinite toroidal, prolapse, where, like, it's just...
This may be the toroidal prolapse edition of Q's in the Pod.
Toroidal?
Yay topography. It's like a ring. There's a toroid, I believe.
I'm reading Hyperspace right now by Michio Kaku, whose name I enjoy saying. And it's all about how we can't visualize anything above our three dimensions, but that at some point we existed in 10-dimensional space, and then 6 of the dimensions broke off, and that caused the Big Bang. But don't worry, at the last moments of the Big Crunch, we'll master trans-dimensional travel, and it'll save those of us who can travel trans-dimensionally.
That's one interpretation of string theory, and to be able to prove it, we'd need to build a collider that's bigger than the circumference of the solar system. So.
Accepted. Let's do it.
That'd be cool.
Well, true, but just think, like, it'd be generations before, like, starting it and then getting results from it. Well, never minding constructing it, like the sun would probably go supernova way before we actually finished it.
Well, we'd have to start it somewhere that wasn't near our sun, then.
I also don't think there's enough material in the solar system to, build a ring that big.
That's true.
It depends how thick the ring is.
Although, Michio Kaku, when he was in high school, made, 200, I think it was, 200, maybe 20 miles. He made a quite large ring over Christmas break by just circling the track outside his house with his parents. And I'm like, they must really have loved you that they spent their Christmas break making a large copper ring for you so you could make, a collider in your garage.
Aww.
Weird.
Yeah.
Wait, so, they just walked around in a circle
with
copper?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think copper tubing, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. The family that collides particles together,
together
does that.
So, since I have a notebook in front of me and I've written some things down, I suppose that's the order we'll go in.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So, Daniel, have you heard what's going on with John Green and the internet, specifically Tumblr?
No, but that presents several ready-made options for what could be going on given the subject matter. Are they upset about something?
They're upset about stupidity, really. Which I know, given this is Tumblr.
And I was just saying, damn it, Tumblr, stop living up to your stereotype.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened is some 20-something librarian basically said, isn't John Green's social media presence creepy? isn't he just like that dad who like sits too close to girls at the pool? And other people are like, yeah, he's totally a molester. He's totally creepy. Now, John Green is many things. He is schmaltzy. He is apparently very uncomfortable with actually being his true self, whatever mm-hmm. that might be. He enjoys his cult following. And yeah, he writes, you know, pretty cheesy books about precocious teenagers. Mm-hmm. I have read three of them. I'm reading the fourth right now. So, I'm not immune. And so, then they repeatedly tagged John Green so he would pay attention to this. And John Green said, it's really inappropriate that you're appropriating the language of social justice to attack me because you don't like my books. Like, you're accusing me, you're associating me with being, like, a child molester because you don't like what I write.
Yeah, that's kind of a common thing on Twitter also, where, like, people will start shit fights with their friends or whatever, and then go and, like, link it to the person that they're having an argument about to drag them into it. And it's like...
That seems pretty accurate.
Yeah, like, and it's total bullshit, because, you know...
But yeah, so they think John Green is a pedophile because he writes books for, you know, preteens or teenagers.
Teenagers, wow. Yeah. But, which is just like...
Yeah, I mean, but his books are not even, like, I don't think... I don't know, like, that's kind of a jump from, you know, artists who draw preteen characters or whatever, or...
Which Tumblr loves!
Yes, yes, ton of it. But, yeah, like, I don't know, that's such a jump in logic.
And, like, you know, that means, like, anyone who writes books for, like, babies must be an infantile.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. No, that, you know what that reminds me of? There's this, like, chickens, the pecking, like... I'm trying to remember the name of the phenomenon where, like, one chicken, if it has a wound on it, the rest of the chickens around it, like, even if it's just a tiny spot, will peck at it until it, like, essentially, you know, turns into a gaping sore and they kill it by massing together to...
Yes.
I don't know, it's
and
kind of a weird thing.
And then sometimes those chickens get spots of blood on them, and then they will be pecked.
Yes.
Which brings the next part that USA Today... asked several authors if they would like to comment on what's going on Tumblr to John Green, which is already ridiculous.
Yeah, that's, like, fucking stupid.
And a woman named Maggie Stiefalter, I might be saying her name wrong, she writes The Raven Cycle, which I've read none of.
Yeah.
But I follow her on Tumblr, and she's a pretty good sort. Like, I mostly follow authors on Tumblr at this point. Right. And she said, basically, like, I don't really know John Green. We've passed in the hall, you know, we're collegial, but I think it's really wrong that you are holding an author up to this standard and you're attacking him, and then when he defends himself, you attack him more. And so now she's being attacked, people are sending her hate, being like, you're not a feminist, how dare you say that? He makes teenage girls uncomfortable. It's like,
wait,
cite your sources.
Yeah, I was going to say, at what point have teenage girls come forward en masse? Like, aren't they his target demographic?
Yes, they love him.
Wow. See, like, by that rule, we should really be locking up every boy band ever.
Right. if all it takes is, well, I don't like how he uses Twitter and Tumblr. He makes me uncomfortable. Has he spoken to you? No.
Right. Do you have to follow him?
Are you
required?
And that's another thing. Like, if you don't like how he does that... you can block him.
Yeah, it's exceedingly easy.
Yeah.
He doesn't even ever have to know.
Yeah, and he certainly would not give a damn. He only gives a damn when you are making it, like, you know, when you're trying to drag his reputation through the mud over literally nothing. Over, I'm trying to stir shit on Tumblr.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, as a caveat, it's hilarious when the internet tries to do this to Donald Rumsfeld, but that's a special case, I think.
Who's Donald Rumsfeld?
He was
architect of our war in Iraq, basically.
Oh, no, although I was actually thinking of Rush Limbaugh.
He just feeds on your hate and he grows larger.
Yes. No, there's like this internet sort of campaign to perpetuate the, what was it? It was something like Rush Limbaugh killed and raped a 10-year-old or something. So, something like
that. I'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah, that was the meme and, you know. I don't mind in that case because he's an actual identified person. It's probably still wrong.
Like, I'm not saying that he did, but why doesn't he come forward and just say that he did not, like, rape and kill a 10-year-old.
Yes. Yeah. Which you know, it is one of those things where, like, looking at it objectively, you really can't allow that and then go and be like, well, but I'm okay with this. But at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna... But I understand the problem with it.
Yeah. And I already have blocked this person on Tumblr. I don't know this person's name anymore. But they basically were like, I'm getting attention. Oh my God, I'm getting attention. I don't think they were the original poster. And they're the ones that really keep perpetuating it because they're getting reblogged, which is a big problem. They're like, well, if 15,000 people reblogged this, a lot of people must have problems with him. I'm like, well, no. I reblogged it to say you're being ridiculous. Right. You don't know this man.
Right.
We have zero evidence he's ever, like, looked at a kid the wrong way.
No,
so
but
why you bring it's, in, yeah.
It is such an easy accusation.
Yeah, he makes me uncomfortable. It's like spectral evidence.
Pretty much. Yeah, I don't know. It also, like, you know, takes part of the age-old fallacy of, like, well, if 200 people say this, it must be right, which, you know, never changes anything. Because... Yeah.
I had to block an author I did follow because she kept reblogging and perpetuating the posts that are just trying to stir up trouble for attention. And I'm like, I thought you were better than this, but seeing that you're not, I definitely want nothing to do with you. Like, I'm not going to confront you. I'm not going to send you hate. Right. But there's no way I ever want you to be able to contact me ever, because we've exchanged words. Like, we've spoken. I think she has an agent, whereas I don't. And so, you know, I like to schmooze. But I'm like, no. You are a dangerous person to know, because you fell into this easily. And I think a lot of it, honestly, is jealousy. Like, this person is doing better than me. You know, I see someone at the top of the heap. Let's aim the arrow and see if anything hits.
Yeah.
Saying all this, I don't like John Green.
Right. Well, that is the worst thing in the world, is when you're put in a situation where you have to defend somebody or something that you don't like.
Right.
Because the wider implication would be worse.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I think that he's false. I think he is pandering. But I do not think he's a monster. I think he's like the personification of Wisconsin in my head. Just really wholesome. Like... almost to a fault, like trying really hard to just be polite and friendly.
Yeah,
I've never been to Wisconsin, but I have a friend from Wisconsin, so I find that offensive.
Did you ever see Fargo?
No.
Okay, we saw Fargo.
We saw Fargo.
Yes.
Okay, what's Fargo?
It's like
it's really good.
Steve Buscemi. There's a murder. They're all very polite. There's a female cop played by Frances McDormand, I think.
And she's pregnant.
You've seen this. They're the wood chipper.
Yeah.
Putting the frozen body through the wood.
Yeah. It has the guy that looks a lot like Till Lindemann of Rammstein. But no, I mean, he definitely, like, fits the definition of, like, he's kind of in the hack category. Like, you know, he's hit upon a formula that works, and that's all he's going to do.
And he does the formula well.
But, well,
I
never actually posted this, but I wrote this whole thing about he's a lot like Coke, where when they tried to change the formula to Coke, people flipped their shit, even though it would taste better, supposedly. So you can't do that, but you just keep putting out this corn syrup with a little bit of carbonation in there and secret ingredients, but no, it's the same stuff.
Yep. Yeah, as long as the can looks the same.
Yeah.
It's probably the big part.
But demonstrably true.
It is, I don't know, that sort of artist does have to struggle with the whole idea of, like, you're right, if they try to change, you know, they risk losing their majority of their audience.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, that means they can't ever make anything new and interesting.
Well,
and,
at least I like Hank Green from what I've seen of him.
The Crash Course series.
I love, like, that. I was having a kid do Regents Prep, and he's like, well, I don't really get this thing in biology. And I'm like, you know who would? Hank Green. So I just Googled, and there was exactly what I wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had him watch Hank Green for 20 minutes. He's like, I get this a lot more, Mr. Quackenbush. I'm like, there you go.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel like Hank Green is a little more authentic. And I feel like John Green probably is like, I have minor internet. Well, I guess he had pretty major internet success with the Vlogbrother series and Crash Course. And so, I mean, I have nothing against him. I don't, as we've discussed before, I don't see him as an artist. I see him as an entertainer.
Yes.
And he has, very different you things. Know, I don't want him to write the next War and Peace or to catch a to kill a Mockingbird. I'm okay with him writing The Fault in Our Stars to The Cancering.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
No.
Okay.
That's not happening.
Okay.
He would have to.
Is that because everyone died in the first one?
No, only one person died.
Right. Although,
we
like,
can have forever in our. In our infinite, I don't know how that
I think it would be hilarious though if like he kept writing sequels to that and it just kept being that same kid falling in love with like cancer ridden girls so that or was it the other way around? Yeah. Okay, so yeah. The and protagonist keeps falling in love with cancer ridden people so that it just
spoilers. Though I feel like I saw the trailer and it's pretty clear who dies.
Yeah, I mean, those sorts of movies and stories, if you've seen one, you immediately recognize what the formula is. It's like My Girl. Oh, yep, clearly.
He can't see without his glasses. Yeah. He gets stung to death by bees. Painful. He's played by Macaulay Culkin.
You know, when you say, like, he's played by so-and-so, it means nothing to me.
It means something to our audience. Wait, yeah. I can explain it in one gesture. Ah! Now you know who Macaulay Culkin is, don't
although,
you?
Although, like, that won't work for very much longer.
Why?
Just because, you know, like the generation after you is not going to have any clue. I keep seeing this, there's a sort of shaming meme. It's an image macro of Mr. Rogers, and it's something to the effect of, like you're not being the person that Mr. Rogers knows you could be. and it's great, but it's also kind of sad because I don't think, you know, again, like in a generation or two, nobody's going to remember why that's a thing.
I don't know. A lot of kids are probably watching reruns.
Is it still on?
Well, they you can still buy DVDs of it.
They have spun it off. Now I think there's a cartoon series in the land of make-believe. Something that really craptastic.
Because, like, sorry, at least I imagine if I ever have kids, I wouldn't make them watch a lot of 80s cartoons. Just saying.
Just like you would have been so thrilled if your mom made you watch, like, 60s cartoons. Cause
maybe!
There wouldn't have been that many.
But Gargoyles is awesome.
Gargoyles is awesome.
That's also, like, a 90s cartoon. It's not...
Yeah, that is what she grew up with.
Fine. 80s and 90s cartoons.
I don't know. Maybe through the power of the internet, like, you know, it will carry on as a thing.
I don't know. But... I feel like cartoons are getting worse drawn, like, as a rule.
Yeah.
Because computers do it easily.
Well, it is that sort of difference of, like, certain elements of it become cheaper and easier, so a lot more of it can be produced, so you're going to see a lot more shit.
It depends on the cartoons.
Get some really good things. Yeah. Like, you know, the Adult Swim format, you know, they're sort of able to kind of ride the line between complete crap and this is funny because it's a specific style because it's so short.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there are fewer creators working. Whereas back in the day, there were perhaps too many cooks.
I think it really depends. Like, there are still some really good cartoons, but then there are some that they're automatically just creating cartoons to create them because they know people will watch them.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like movies, you know, if you have one Aqua Teen Hunger Force, or you know, to make it an older reference, you have one Ren and Stimpy, and then all of a sudden you get 20 Cow and Chickens.
I mean, we're definitely getting a little more transgressive with our cartoons. You know, we had gay hand-holding on Core, which was drawn well. Good script, full love there. That's what cartoons could and should be. Maybe not 100% of the time, but it's good.
I'm still a little bit grumpy because it's not as good as The Last Airbender.
No.
But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just grumping.
But, you know, it's good because she was like queer as a $3 bill or a $10 bill, which are now going to have women on them. Segway.
Well, one woman.
One woman who we don't know.
We haven't picked it yet.
Also, like, Suzanne, one of our friends, was actually complaining about the specific president that they were taking off in place of somebody else.
What? They're not taking... They're leaving him on there.
Oh, wait.
He will be sharing space with the woman.
No, I think they're
getting
rid of him, is what I heard.
NPR this morning said that they were keeping Hamilton on there He would still be on the bill, but there would also be a woman.
See, NPR, oh. When I heard it, said they were dumping him in favor of a girl.
Well,
which would be the better option? Like, I think it would be kind of a shitty message to be like, all right, you can finally have one woman, but she has to share space with
she has to have a chaperone in my wallet.
Right. a chaperone who is apparently kind of an asshole.
So I hear.
So that's why we're dumping, like, maybe getting, sharing his...
Oh, wait, no, that's right, I keep forgetting, I don't know, see, I forget details almost a second after I read them, I'd better go look it up.
Hmm. I don't know why we've chosen what presents and such are on our money, does it change often?
There's probably a separate almost, podcast
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, very, very rarely, yeah. I think, so it is kind of a big deal.
Isn't Eisenhower, like, the last one we put on? I don't know.
Maybe. I imagine it was kind of one of those, like, it depended on oh no, we have to make another more giant bill.
We have a woman on a coin.
Sacagawea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Also the Susan B. Anthony dollar.
Yeah, we
that's
don't
that's what I was thinking.
Well,
the reason why, like, the Susan B. Anthony dollar is, like, a big deal. She was fined for voting when she wasn't allowed to, and nice. one of her famous quote apparently was "I will not pay $1 of this in unjust."
Very thing. Nice.
And she never did. So that was a tiny anecdote.
Tying in with that, I heard someone speaking, someone who sounded to me a lot like a white woman, saying why we should not have Harriet Tubman on the bill. Because Harriet Tubman was born a slave. And so she was bought and sold. So how dare you put her on currency? And I'm like, I think we're honoring her by putting her on currency.
Yeah, that's some misguided logic there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can kind of see it. But it's
but like through
twisted.
A periscope from far, far away.
Right. It's sort of one of those things that, like, maybe don't think about it, it sounds like a valid argument.
But then your mouth says it and you're like, ooh, I sound real stupid.
Wait, oh shoot, did that escape? I just meant to think that to myself.
But I buy, sell, and trade George Washington all the time.
It's true.
Exactly.
It's true.
Especially for sodas.
The argument about the nature of money, I think, is different than, you know, who's being presented on it. Like, again, how many Americans would come in contact with, you know, Harriet Tubman as a concept if you didn't see her on the bill? Like, maybe 2 minutes in high school?
I agree with that, only to the point that I can't tell you what Hamilton did.
I can't tell you.
And he's been on my bill for a long time.
I can't really tell you what bills are on which bill. Actually, presidents are on which bills.
No, and I think Hamilton wasn't that bad. I think, I'm trying to remember who it was. Suzanne, I'm sorry. I butchered your post in mentioning it because I don't even remember.
Is it the person on the 50?
Maybe. I think so.
Let's see who's on the 50.
So. Because I think she was arguing for keeping Hamilton and getting rid of some other guy who's an asshole instead of Hamilton.
I
don't know enough.
Grant.
I don't know. Anyways.
Jackson.
Dude, you got me. The truth is revealed. I don't actually know anything.
Hamilton.
I don't know.
I just ramble half facts. Anyways.
I would like them to put a black woman on our money, if just so, like, racist, sexist people want to get rid of it by giving it to me. Please, send your offensive $10 bills.
Oh,
we
yes.
have a post office box.
I will also take those off
your
hands.
We will share them.
If they bug
Jefferson?
You.
Jefferson?
No, yeah. Jefferson. I mean, he had Sally Hemings in a couple of ways.
Yeah.
But
I'm just reading off the presidents on my bills.
I'm glad you are.
All right. Q's in a pod, or we don't know the presidents very well.
That's because they're all old white men, and they all look the same.
It's true.
They look different.
Yeah, because some of them have funny wigs.
Yeah. And because Lincoln maybe had Marfan syndrome, which is why he had a high, strange voice, and he was a giant.
Who's he on?
He's on the penny.
On the five?
Yeah.
He's also on the penny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was on the five. I just wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the five on me right now.
It must be a luxury problem.
It's in my purse. It's not in my rent
problems.
Money. It's my rent money.
Okay.
I keep my rent money in a jar. Don't steal my rent money, please.
But I really need some Coke.
Yeah.
I mean,
none of those are $1.
He means cocaine.
Oh. Yes. Can I have some?
You don't want cocaine. Can you
actually, like, I don't really like it, so you can have all of it. I just want to buy it.
Sir, I would
I think I'd rather keep my money.
Sir, how much for one cocaine?
Yes, well, I'll take two heroin, please.
Does it come in a lollipop form? I'm sure drugs do.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's any number of variations.
I want a drug that comes in a lollipop form. And I caffeine, want them to give it to me away at the bank.
That's true. It's true.
You can get booze in a lollipop form? They were trying to make powdered
candy.
Powdered alcohol is illegal in New York.
Yeah.
You're going to be.
I didn't know that was a serious issue.
Yeah, apparently, because it was coming close to being released here.
Yeah.
So you know what woman should not be on the $10 bill?
Me!
Rachel Dolezal. Segway!
Yes. First successful segue, like third attempted.
I know, right?
Just paying attention. Yeah. Yeah. So again, I hope you actually listened to some of her interviews, because I saw some, and the impression I got was that she did not do a very good job of presenting her case.
She did not. She does not seem confident in what she's saying. Like, I feel like you should double down and be like, I am a proud black woman.
Right. I mean, that would be the only option.
How dare you say otherwise? Yeah. Instead, she's like, well, there's no proof that my parents are my biological parents. It's like, you look like them.
Oh, wow.
And then I guess her brother's like, all right, you want to take a DNA test? No. Aww. Then they're your parents, aren't they?
It's always kind of unfortunate when you would expect somebody perpetrating this sort of a scam to at least be, like, really competent at it.
Yeah.
But when they fall apart under, like, the slightest bit of scrutiny, it makes you wonder how she got as far as she did.
Yeah, like... It's less of a scam and more of a mental issue,
well,
I think.
I think both, because she was definitely taking advantage of her position. Like, I know she was collecting speakers' fees to give talks and things, and I'm pretty sure I saw something that she was under investigation for misusing the, she did something that fell under, like, you know, or broke the code of ethics for her position.
Yeah, I also...
Which I think was related to taking money for...
Yeah, and I know that several times, I think I brought this up in the last show where we talked about her, that several times she's been hate-crimed, if I can make that a verb, but there have been no other witnesses, and the circumstances were deeply fishy.
Yeah,
so if you genuinely believe you're black, I don't think you are, but you can carry that belief inside of you. Like, she clearly very much appreciated... One might say fetishized black culture, because she says she's not African-American, but she's black. So, fetishizing, certainly.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it is a little weird that we call them African-Americans in the first place, because they've been here long enough.
Right.
Although,
but I agree
with
that.
That's an entirely different conversation that should mostly be had by, you know, the community it pertains to.
We don't get to decide what they want to be called.
Well,
Daniel can do it like 25% of the time, but you and I cannot.
I didn't know that they had decided that's what they wanted to be called. I just assumed it was what white people thought was better than other
words. I don't
think
it's a monolithic thing. I think
some
prefer black.
Right. It also, like, is probably very much a generational thing. Like, as is always the old chestnut, like, you know, people from a certain era don't mind being or prefer colored. They don't see it as being, you know, a derogatory thing. Mm. But that kind of fell out of fashion. African-American is just like the standard term for our people with too much melanin in their skin.
And
Too much in air quotes.
I know some people are leaning toward people of color now. Less specific. Like, if you want to say, this is my race, a lot of people are of color.
Well, and I think that's actually kind of the point, because like if you describe somebody as being a person of color, like it sort of
means not
vaguer.
White.
It does, but it also, you know, it can kind of refer to Latino people or
absolutely. I'm fine with there being a big
Asian
umbrella, just as a white man, I'm sort of sad to be on the outside of the umbrella.
Well, and that's the thing, is like that's always been, you know, that's why there was so much pushback to.
Most people would consider it the other way around.
Yeah,
you're it's under true. An umbrella and everyone else is outside.
But hey, I want them under my umbrella. We do have cis.
We can,
which is one of the issues that Jessica Williams of The Daily Show brought up, is that Rachel Dolezal could have done a lot more for black people as a white woman, because she has that privilege, she has that presence, she has that voice.
Well, it's also, it was also more that in her position, looking black, but not really, like, not doing it well, it would also hurt the black cause more than, like, even if she was black, like, you see what I mean? Like, her looking the way she does hurts her, what she was doing, rather than, you know, like, even if she was a black woman, she'd be doing better than she is pretending to be a black woman.
She does do her own weaves. That was brought up in one of the interviews.
I don't think that counts, though, as, like, part of the litmus test for are you black or not.
No, I know. She does, though. She's like, well, had you asked me that in the supermarket, like, I'd smack you. But since it's you and me here together, we can talk about it. I did see a tweet, I don't remember who tweeted it, but, like, how the interview really typified America, because you had two white people talking about what it was to be black.
That's usually what it is. The only way it could have been better is if it was two white men talking about, you know, the experience of a black woman.
Marvelous.
No, I believe she actually did an interview with Melissa Harris Perry, which was the one that I did actually want to watch. I just didn't have a chance to. I have to imagine that's, you know, was interesting, because, you know, Melissa Harris Perry doesn't usually let people off too easy.
And I'd like Oprah to talk to her.
Well, for
I don't think Oprah would want to.
No, but yeah, there's some comedic opportunity there.
I don't find this to be a very serious situation, so I'm just watching the train wreck go in slow motion, saying, like, she's gonna pull the brake any minute now. She's just gonna, no, you're going for it. You're keeping going. Ah, I believe she also has accused her parents of molesting one of her adopted siblings. And literally everyone except her is like, no, that did not happen.
Oh, see, I thought it, like, again, you know, unfortunately, most of what I saw, but that was headlines, something about her brother maybe having, or like her having covered up for her brother.
Oh, wow. This could be very sordid. This could be, like, Duggar levels of sordid.
But I don't know. I do wish that I'd actually done a little more research on that for this supplement, because...
That's okay. We're pretty much just... This is our BSing edition.
It's what we do.
Did you hear that she sued Howard University, the historically black university, because they discriminated against her... Because she's white?
Oh, right, because she attended that while she was out as a Caucasian person.
Yes. Yeah. And she was offended that they did not hire her on to be a teacher, and apparently she was told something to the extent of, well, you're white, you probably have a trust fund or something. Someone can take care of you, so you don't need this teaching job.
Right.
Wow.
Which is discriminatory.
It is.
But you also sued the black university you went to, even though they traditionally don't like whitey. Right. They let her in, apparently.
But they didn't give her a job.
No. Yeah. Apparently they let her in mostly because, I mean, they can't be like, so what race are you when you apply?
Right.
But her portfolio was like portraits of African-Americans done in a very traditionally African style, which that's what it says in the article. I don't like traditionally African style when Africa is many countries, but that's what it says in the articles. And you sort of know what
I'd
they
like
mean by
to
that.
See them.
I mean, they can't be worse than George Bush's portraits.
This is true.
So basically she got in because her portfolio looked black enough.
So it's almost the reverse of the Revenge of the Nerds plot?
Yep. I have heard a lot of people, what is it, Soul Man? Soul Man was a movie in the 80s. I don't even remember who that actor was.
And I don't remember what it's about. I just remember that it had a lot of jokes about, like, you know, glossing up your hair and...
Yeah, basically what I know of this movie a white man does blackface to get into college. I think he's actually supposed to be Indian. I'm not really sure. I've never seen this movie.
All right.
It's the sort of bad that I'm not sure I could sit through.
Right. And mind you, we've seen Troll 2 and The Room.
Yes.
Have I seen Troll 2?
You don't want to see Troll 2.
No, it's not even, there's not even anything to laugh at. It's just sadness all the way down.
Yeah.
I love laughing at sadness.
No, yeah.
I know.
You won't this time. Because Noel Bog is goblin spelled backwards.
So, should we talk about, what was it, Caitlyn Jenner being treated like a woman and being objectified?
We definitely could, because of course, that's been the entire presentation now, is like, oh, we're okay with, you know, Caitlyn being Caitlyn now, because she's hot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Am I right?
She looked like that woman from American Horror Story. Jessica Lange. Awesome. Yeah, and that is absolutely true. Yeah, like, I want to give you guys a pat on the back because you're being accepting of a transgendered person, but a wag of the finger because you want to stick your dick in her.
Yeah, or especially because that's probably the main reason that she's getting positive attention. It's definitely one of those things of like, okay, baby steps. It probably overall has a beneficial effect, but it's definitely still problematic that's what it takes, you know, to be accepted or to
$4 million worth of surgery. That's what she has had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have seen a lot of people saying like, well, you know, she's not the spokesperson for being transgendered. To which I have to say, I don't think she wants to be.
No.
Well, I think she... I don't know, though. Like, a lot of... I mean, you know, she a lot of her coming out in the media has seemed to kind of be... Like, it's very structured, you know. There's a reality TV show that's sort of being marketed along with all of this. So, in a way, like, she's definitely taking advantage of you know, this sort of space that other people like Laverne Cox have created.
Yes.
Or you know, help bring into
I picture place. Laverne Cox as a spokesperson for being transgendered way more, but it might just be like the bubble I'm in.
Right. Well, and even in Laverne Cox's case, like I believe she's said as well that, you know, like she doesn't necessarily want to be the spokesperson because she's much like Caitlyn had a lot of privileges that the majority of people in that community don't have, like, you know, having access to hormones at an early age or being able to have, you know, all these surgeries.
There is a girl that also has a reality TV show called, I think it's I Am Jazz is what, I saw like a clip about it talking about the Caitlyn Jenner thing, that she was the youngest person to be diagnosed with gender dysphoria.
Oh,
like, she was like toddler.
Wow. Wow, that's...
Yeah.
All right, that's interesting.
And impressive. Started transitioning into a girl then.
But and it's weird because like that's almost too young. Like,
I mean, but it's not if it's like, yeah, like I could see that, but I could also see if you're very, and like she got diagnosed with it. Like she went to a psychiatrist, like, and her parents weren't like all for it. They were like, if you really have to,
it's. I don't know. It's just hard to imagine anyone that young really having any sort of idea about that. Because, like, you don't usually even see that sort of, you know,
but
gender,
like,
identity stuff doesn't really kind of come into it.
I don't know. I think in some ways the gender divide is more open and more obvious when you're little. Like, at least with toys and stuff. Like, I do understand, like... You know, maybe, but if it's an actual medical issue, like an actual mental thing that some people have, as well as, you know, everything else.
Well, yeah, and, again, you know, it's another of those cases where I don't necessarily know enough to have a strong opinion on it. My initial impression is always to be a little bit alarmed when people are like, oh, my way too young kid has these feelings or has those feelings.
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
but if you're,
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's child, gonna go with child and be safe here. Mm-hmm. Has said Shiloh wants to be, I don't remember what name Shiloh would prefer, but it is a male name and Shiloh dresses as a boy. But Shiloh was like 3.
Wow.
A very dapper 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to say that your child at 3 is transgender, whereas, like, I know people whose kids wear Elsa clothes all the time. And I think it's a little early to decide that that means anything more than you're three.
Yeah. I mean, we really... I mean, I guess it is kind of a hard thing. Because, like, I know with if you are going to transition, the earlier you can catch it, the better. But it's also one of those things of, like...
I think it would depend. Because also, like... I mean, you wouldn't do surgery on a little kid.
No.
But, like, definitely start doing, like, clothes and things. Like, there are a lot of ways that you can't tell the difference between a little kid and a little...
Right. Although, couldn't that sort of just be helped by just letting them kind of pick what they want to
Well,
go
that's
to?
Why. Assuming they have pick the what opportunity. The, like, that's yeah. what the kid, you know, wanted yeah. girl stuff.
Yeah,
right.
So she, he, or he was a boy, and she picked out girl clothes, and they... diagnosed with gender dysphoria.
But at the same time, like, I always kind of liked girl clothes way more than boy clothes because they got cooler shit.
That's true. That's true.
And but at the same time, like, I'm have always been very heterosexual, even though I don't, you know.
Confused. That's combining sexuality and gender.
Well, right, that's right, right. And that is the thing. Is like, yeah, like I don't, you know. Well, yeah. So I guess so. I guess I was kind of doing the same thing there.
Well, I'll talk about some of my childhood crap.
Yeah.
Is I really liked stuffed animals when I was a child.
Me too.
You too. And I think it severely worried my mother.
Yeah, I find that weird. But yeah.
That my mother was worried or that I was into...
That any parent, like, worries about their child based on that they like dolls or something. It's like, yeah, well, so?
I know. And there's always been that kind of argument of, like, wouldn't you want little boys playing with dolls? Because aren't they going to be fathers of it, maybe?
Yeah.
And as long as they're not causing anything physical harm.
Right.
You know, like I'd be worried if my child was, like, killing kittens.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they're playing with a Barbie doll,
right,
I'd be a little disturbed because I'd wonder how they got their hands on a Barbie doll.
Well, right. But... No, that's when you snatch it out of their hands and you give them, you know, Lisa Lionheart because it's clearly the better option.
Yeah. Mm. Math is hard.
But, that's weird. Like, I've always liked boy toys better.
Right, and I think it's
well. When I was little, maybe not, but like I definitely have all the necks and everything.
And I think a part of that is like if you're young enough, you don't, you know, what's for boys and what's for girls doesn't those two words don't mean anything to you. It's just like
they're just toys,
and the only reason you would know is if your parent freaks out and is like, "Oh no, you can't have that because that's for X and not Y."
Or it also depends on who they're around, because other kids will also be like, that's a boy toy, why do you have that? Well, usually with boys with girls, so.
Yeah, but that also is kind of, you know, one of those things that it doesn't, I believe there's an age range where that sort of thing happens generally, more often than not.
Also, apparently, with the gender divide of toys and stuff, like, they did this with, like, a stereotypically... boy toy and stereotypically girl toy, and they painted them different colors. Like, and definitely painting it pink, a girl color, made it the girl totally okay with playing either of the toys, and they wouldn't have necessarily when it was like they wouldn't play with the green truck, but they might play with they would play with a pink truck.
Although,
but it doesn't work the same way in reverse.
I have a friend who her daughter puts the toy truck and like a tutu and has a little bed for it.
That's adorable.
Oh my god.
What?
Yeah. Ooh.
Emily's kid.
Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's pretty
amazing.
Good.
Amazing.
No, but I do like it is also a thing that like kids absorb things in their environment very quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if they're not thinking about things in terms of gender, like, they will pick up if, you know, you're like, oh, you know, you can only play with the pink things.
Yeah, so I agree.
I don't know.
Like, I've had, what was it, at my table, like, I do craft fairs and my stuff is somewhat girly, but a lot of boys like my stuff too, or they'll buy it for someone else.
Yeah.
And there was one that there was a couple, like, it was, you know, like, a father, a mother, and a son, and a daughter. And, like, this father was, like, the father went to the center and was like, oh, there's nothing really here for us at this table. And the kid was like, oh. was definitely not happy with the fact that the
Dad, stop cock blocking.
I know, I like wanting to be like, hey, your kid can like what it wants.
Right. There are monsters.
Yeah.
Well, I had an experience where my mom had me sleep over with my cousins, and they had, it's hard to describe, it was sort of like a combination of a man, an alligator, and a frog. It was rubbery but kind of soft. And I'm like, it's like a doll, but it's masculine. And they're like, you can keep it. I'm like, yes, the frog alligator man and I will be good friends now. But I, like, even, I must have been like, I don't know, 8 or 9, and I'm like, I can now pass as a masculine boy because I have my frog alligator doll.
Yeah. See, I was definitely, I had some gender issues when I was little. But
are there really gender issues? Like, as Daniel was saying, like, it's kind of nurturing. Like,
well, I mean, you know. I had, like, severe sexism as a small child.
Oh, yes, you did.
Tell
us more about
that. Yeah,
I definitely, well, I was a tomboy. Basically, I, as far as I was concerned, everyone had to conform to the gender norms except me. Of course, it also might have been a problem that there was only, like, 4 girls in my class.
Oh. So you were
but,
just...
But, so I had no interest in what the 4 girls had any interest in. And so I'd hang out with the guys all the time, and then I'd, like, you know, call them girly and stuff if they, you know, were girly.
Yeah, well, that's also just, like, adopting, you know, the language of the power group.
Yeah, I was really mean, though.
Yeah. Most kids are at some point. It's I think that would be one of those major difficulties of trying to figure out how to raise kids in such a way that they don't, you know, get to blossom too much into their cruelty phase.
Like, but no, like I was a very I was very sexist when I was little. And I'm definitely, you know.
Yeah. Well, and two, like when you're little, every time when you learn the rules, like, again, your brain is determining what your reality is, so it's like oh, this has to be this way, all right, this has to be this way, and like, yep. You know, you're much...
I still like my it has to be this way, but I'm not doing it
right. Well but that's which is, you know, that's how you make Republicans. they just never understand that, you know, they also have to live by their own rules also.
That's true.
No, of course, in that case, I was just mostly too much in my head, but I never really consciously thought about, you know, gender stuff. I just, you know, thought that dresses were cool.
Dresses are cool. Well, when I was little, I hated them. I wouldn't be caught dead and scared. Little me would hate some of the outfits I have now.
Yeah. Or would she secretly love them?
Maybe. No, she'd probably hate them.
Yeah. How would little you feel about the fact that you're married to me?
She might be okay with it. I don't know. She'd be like, why aren't you living with your parents too? I love when you write, like, when you read, like, little kids' essays and things, and they're like, when I grow up, I want to be this, and I'm going to live in a house with my mommy and my daddy and my husband. I have a story like that. And my sister and her husband, and we'll all be a happy family living together.
Aww.
But no, right? It's so adorable.
What? Yeah.
And it used to be like that, but... Well, yeah, but if you're little, it's not terrifying.
Right. Well, yeah, because, you know, you don't have to worry about... You haven't unlocked the complexity of like, sexual
family
maturity.
Life.
Yes. Yeah. Which is...
And your daddy and his next wife.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
She wasn't involved in the essay.
And I think it's good, you know, explore gender roles. Figure out what you want to do.
Yeah.
But maybe, like, I don't know. Here, my unpopular opinion is I think that there are a lot more people claiming to be transgender than are actually transgender. And I definitely want it to be open. Like, if you are transgender, like, I would rather there be, like, 20 transgenders that are like, I'm totally going to get some testosterone and some estrogen so I can be kawaii. And that, rather than there being one transgender person who can't get the hormones they want.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Someone's complaining, like, you know, if you're just buying a binder for cosplay, then you're scum. It's like, but if more people buy binders, more binders will be available and they'll be cheaper.
It's true. I kind of want a binder. I definitely would have had a binder when I was little. Not
you didn't
little.
Have breasts.
When I was younger, when I had breasts, but was still older than I am, was still younger than I am now.
Yeah. What purpose would a binder serve for you?
It'd be cool.
So
you'd pass as a boy more. You could. I was thinking, you could also see it, like, definitely one way you're taught is that, with sexuality, that it's a rainbow. Heterosexuality on one side, like, complete heterosexuality on one side, and complete gayness on the other side. So you could see, like, gender, I'm sure, is the same way. Yeah. Like, most of us fall, you know, in
the
middle somewhere.
I think the Kinsey Institute backs that up.
Yeah.
Like, well, so, that's like, why they get... have the scale where, like, it's you know, most people fall kind of, you know, slightly right or left of center if, mm-hmm. if you're doing it that way. Like, there's very few people that are 100% one or the other. But
and so, it's more mentally and emotionally healthy to embrace both the masculine and feminine in you.
Yeah. So I'm sure there are some people who you'd call trans-trenders that are just kind of like, maybe, they could really be either. Like, they're in the middle-ish more than to either side.
And I do think you're right that it's sort of better to let that happen in mm-hmm. the sense that, because it's still kind of normalizing it in a way. Like it becomes way weirder the more people you have saying that they're this, the more visible that mm-hmm. is. And you're right, the easier it probably is to actually come out if you're actually experiencing that.
Yeah.
But you know, they can also be really obnoxious and get in the way of the whole
it's true. Well, that's why we also shouldn't necessarily, you know, avoid calling them out on it, but at the same time it's a good sign if you have, you know, people.
Yeah, it's good that they're like Rachel Dolezals in a sense. Because they really admire something. They really want to be belong to what has erstwhile been an oppressed group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even if they might be trying to score some oppression points right there, they're still like, I want to be trans. Mm-hmm. I myself, like, I am not trans, but I want to be trans, and I want to wear a suit jacket to go to school.
You have to be the butt of, like, you know, bad 90s sitcoms for a couple of years before you can be, like, the actually just way cooler, you know.
That's true.
Character and
the 80s were all about, oh, for some reason I have to pretend like I'm the other gender. Oh no, I'm falling in love.
Right. It's Shakespeare all over again.
Yeah, I think that's a genre in, like, everything, because there's a lot of manga and anime about it, too.
Well,
there's fantasy novels about it all the time, and I think it's just, like,
anytime you have, like, strong oppression against a thing, like, it's kind of, you know, it's the whole forbidden fruit thing. Like, it makes it more interesting, but then it's, like, something that has to be pursued in the secret and in the dark, and you know, that can fester for a while. And
what is it, Host Club, it was just an accident.
Oh, yes.
That the girl was, like, what?
No, go on.
That she was just, you know, poor, and she didn't, she wasn't wearing the uniform yet. And they confused her with a boy, and they got her a uniform, like the host club did, and she was part of the host club by then, so she just had to pass as a boy. Because otherwise, you know, girls aren't going to pay to get another girl to serve them tea.
Like, story checks out. That's all you really.
Those are the ones where, like, you know, the girls or where guys can go to just objectify women without.
Except the opposite.
Wait, really?
All of the boys are the hosts.
Oh, okay. So
it's like the opposite of a maid cafe.
Right. Which I've also, like, heard those described as host clubs where you know, salary men can go to, like, ogle women without having to actually pay attention to them.
Cute girls are not necessarily cute, but basically girls come, they serve them tea and hang out with the pretty boys, and the pretty boys show off and pretend to be gay and various things. There's a whole twincest thing.
Hot.
Oh, yeah. Japan.
So, trans and whatnot. I don't know if either one of you knows, but my last girlfriend assumed that I was trans before she met me. Because we'd spoken on the phone, and apparently I seemed very feminine to her.
Well, actually, I told you how, like, when you first started hanging out with my ex way back when, like, I don't know, I also thought that you might be gay at the time, and it is, like, it's a purely behavioral thing.
Yeah.
Which, again, is funny, because, you know, I've had that sort of thing, too. Like, I don't...
Right.
necessarily but, have a lot of masculine
and
behaviors.
It's funny that because you were raised in a family of all boys, you'd imagine it happening the other way around sometimes.
Yeah.
Just like stereotypically, if you were like the middle girl and there are two, wait, the middle boy and there are two girls on each side, then you might be girly just because of that. But then you might also be rebelling and be more masculine.
It's true.
Yeah. Whereas it really depends.
I pretty much was always, like, I had dolls and I wrote in my diary, so.
Yeah.
So you
ingrained.
You
could, yes. Maybe some nurture in there, but I think there's a whole nature thing. But anyway, like, she, and when she, you know, met me and we started getting intimate, she's like, oh, you legitimately are male, huh?
Yeah.
But I think she thought that I just didn't want to come out to her. And I'm like, no, I really was a guy the whole time.
That's sad.
Surprise! Twist!
Right, and what's sad about that is that, I mean, that's kind of what happens when someone fetishizes you. It's, you know, they're not actually into you as much as they're into their idea of what you are. And that sucks, because, you know.
Yeah, I can see that definitely being an issue.
Yeah. Why you shouldn't put the person that you're interested in on a pedestal, because it's unfair to you both.
Unless they ask you to put you on a pedestal so you can reach something.
Yeah, in a literal sense, it's fine. just don't, you know, in the metaphorical sense, because then you're not really interacting with them. You're interacting with your imaginary idea of them, and they can't compete.
But if you put them on a pedestal, it's easy to look up their skirts.
Well, that can be a benefit as long as it's
mutually... But what if
mutually
they're not wearing a skirt?
Oh, well...
Then... We put them in a skirt, put them on a pedestal, look up the skirt.
Yes.
You might be surprised what you see, Tom.
It's true.
Eh. Girl is a girl.
That's true. The internet's been around long enough that nobody should be surprised by anything they might see.
Oh, I don't know. Anymore. I still remember the BME Pain Olympics.
Oh, well, that's a special case.
Yeah.
That is a special
case.
That
was pretty surprising. We will not be linking that in the show notes.
No, I don't necessarily
recommend... Don't Google that.
Right. I mean, you might as well go to 4chan and hang out on the B-board around midnight if that's the sort of thing you're wanting to do.
I was B-board. Forbidden from going to 4chan in college. I've never been to 4chan, but a lot of people, like, they talk about 4chan and tell me never to go on it.
Well, that's kind of the joke, is that, like it's so awful, but really, it's... All right, so the deal with 4chan, right, there's multiple boards... The random board, which is /B, that's the one that everybody, you know, that's where all the horrible stuff is supposed to happen. But really, that hasn't been the case for a while.
Yeah.
Because 4chan, just like any other democratic experience, is made up of, like, you know, they have way more traffic than they used to. So it's not just a few bored IT kids, you know, wanting to make racist jokes at each other. It's thousands of people periodically wanting to make racist jokes at each other. it is interesting in the case that, like, if you want to see a completely unfiltered, you know, view of you know, the human zeitgeist, you can see that. And because of that, it's very much like a sea of shit with little bubbles of diamonds floating in it. And it's a matter of, like, how much you're willing to put up with the shit to get the diamonds. And you don't really have to, because most of the diamonds will end up on Reddit next week anyways.
That's true.
Yeah. But no, it's very much one of those things where it's the reputation is way worse than the reality. Because, you know, any of the really, really awful shit is happening on the dark net, and probably Russian.
I read a very...
Hey, I know some Russian.
Fun. I read a really disturbing article in Cracked about a woman who... Her thesis was, like... on how pedophiles work on the dark net. Mm-hmm. So she went on there and, like, trolled pedophile boards, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
There's no thesis that's worth this.
No, because that is one of those scary things where, like, you know, again, if you happen to accidentally come across child porn on the internet and you report it to the FBI, you're probably still going to get arrested.
Yeah. And that's what she said. She's like, I never watch anything. But given the reaction of the pedophiles, like, they're definitely, like, this one couple was definitely making new porn
of their
children who were being raised in the pedo lifestyle, something like that.
Creepy.
But she's like, the only thing that they're better at is, like, than, like, finding more kiddie porn is hiding their identities.
Huh. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well, in, you know, the way it's been, the way things have been going with, like, you know, the big revelation about the Parliament in London and
what?
Oh, the big child molestation ring in the UK that keep, like, what?
What?
Yeah. You haven't heard any of
when
it?
When did this happen?
Like, during Margaret Thatcher's reign, like, there's a lot of emerging evidence that she and a lot of members of Parliament were actively participating. Well, if...
The sort of shit that, like, I would say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, except
yeah,
it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And mostly because a lot of them are dying now, so it's starting to come out. But yeah, mm-hmm. like she, if she wasn't participating, she was definitely covering up. So it's kind of very much like a...
I just don't get it.
Like the Vatican, weird. Actually. Yeah, a very yeah. similar sort of thing.
Like, no offense to your children or anything, but they're not sexy. Like,
no.
There's a good David Sedaris quote. It's something like, children are like animals, fun to look at, but well beyond my sexual imagination.
Yeah. I mean, and that is the thing, is like, there are demonstrated, trying to think of the word, like, there are things that can be wrong with your brain that mm-hmm. will cause you to still be sexually attracted to children.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an abnormality. Like, it's not... I don't know. I don't know how equivalent it is to, like, you know, being attracted to the opposite sex. It's definitely some sort of major issue. Like, that's... Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. Through the years, I've encountered a few articles of non-offending pedophiles where they're like, listen, I want to molest children. I will never do it. I need you to get me help now. I need therapy.
Mm.
And at least the United States government's like, well, come back to us when you molest a kid, and then we'll arrest you, and then we'll force therapy on you. Like, but
well,
could
and,
I do this
and
without...
that therapy will be mostly ineffective because it'll be primarily punishment.
Right, yeah. Because I don't know if you can fix pedophiles.
Well, it's but we're not really working very hard on studying the problem.
No, because you don't want to come out and be like, hey, I'm a non-offending pedophile, because that's the end of your life right there.
Oh, right. Well, or you know, in similarly, if you're trying to research it, like, you're probably not going to have much, you know, it's going to be hard getting funding for that, because we're not like Sweden or Norway that would actually put money
and most
that.
Of the people you're finding to test or whatever are criminals, too.
Right, right. And
which has a whole different, you know,
right, may not be
biological component, possibly.
Yeah, because I do imagine it's one of those things where, like, you'd have to be able to identify it early and have an effective program for dealing with it before it becomes a problem. Because, like,
and
I don't know.
I
mean,
a lot of pedophiles.
Castration.
Sorry.
Yeah.
A lot of pedophiles definitely feel like, oh, they're, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be. Men, boy, love.
Yep.
You know. And if you're self-righteous about it, there's definitely no fixing you.
No, and, you know, that's one of those combining issues, I imagine. Well, all right, so yeah, you have something that you know is a repugnant trait to the society you're living in. So, yeah, like, you're going to be incentivized to develop all of the, like, you know, sociopathic skills of hiding everything, and then, you know...
That's true. Because if you're bad at being a child molester, we hopefully catch you quickly.
Yeah.
And if you're good, then you're a monster.
Yeah.
There's no winning.
Really not. And again, like, you know, it's we're a little too, what's the word, gung-ho about punishing and having an excuse to punish than we are about actually wanting to treat an issue. Because, like, I'm hoping that it would be one of those things where it would be a relatively small proportion of the population, but... It's still something you'd have to fix. Like,
well, we saw a documentary on Netflix. You actually saw it too, like, Are All Men Pedophiles? And what they say, basically, is that societally we are indoctrinated to find young women, not little girls, young women,
right,
sexually attractive. So the minute that you hit your first period, society's like, so, how's it going? Nice to see you.
Yeah, that may be, like, you know, another, I don't know if that'd be another show topic discuss, but like the way that, you know, what you're presented with affects your attractivity. Because I know one of the things that the internet kind of opened my eyes to was, like, you don't realize how cookie cutter, you know, the things that you're presented and supposed to be interested in are until you actually see, like, a lot of other naked people.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because you know, you do see a lot of naked people in normal media, but they are all like, you know, there's very little deviation in their body types and their structures. And then you go on something like, you know, Gone Wild on Reddit, and then, you know, even though it's still kind of, even though it still tends to favor certain types of bodies, there's way more variation in that than you would expect. And you can have this.
No, like, I agree. Like, because I draw nude drawings sometimes. Right. And, like, the original model I had was, like, a gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
So she had, like, the standard body you're used to, like, seeing online naked. And then, like, I was doing pictures, paintings based off of pictures I had taken of myself naked. And I was like, why am I soft in those places?
Right, right.
And I didn't even notice because I'm skinny. But I have fat in places that you don't stereotypically... Like, I have
a gymnast is probably, you know, often way under their...
I'm tiny, I still have, you know, body fat. Right. I guess, that I didn't realize was normal to have.
No, and the other kind of, like, again, the thing I kind of experienced was, like, it if you're not used to seeing different body types, like, your first reaction is kind of like a shock and gross kind of thing, but it's very much something that you can, like, the more you're exposed to regular bodies, the more normalized it becomes, and all of a sudden, like, it stops being as bizarre, and, like, I don't know, it's really just because, like, you know, it is just that contrast between what you're being presented with every other day as, like, this is what's supposed to be normal versus what's actually normal.
Yeah.
And
like, I don't know. Another specific body issue is, like, cellulite. Mm. Like, I have some, weird. Like, everyone does, but you never see it. And I didn't know that.
It's brushed on everybody else.
Exactly. And I didn't really notice it until we watched, like, Burlesque, because they all have it, and I find it overly distracting, because I know I have a personal issue with it, you know? Right. But it's fine!
Well, wait, let's objectify you for just temporarily.
Fine, objectify me.
How do you feel about Amber's cellulite?
I'm kind of holistic when it comes to people.
I, however, don't do burlesque dancing in front of you, usually.
No, it's a shame. It's true. I did date a girl once, and she apparently was very self-conscious about her stretch marks.
Mm.
And first I'm like, I barely noticed them. They're your tiger stripes. And she's like, I love you so much. That's such... And I'm like, no, really. I genuinely, like, I sort of know that you had them, but I so did not care.
No, and I think that is kind of the normal response, is like, I don't know. Again, once you kind of get over the really bland cookie cutter body types you're expected to see, like, the thing that becomes interesting about people's bodies are their, like, weird little differences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, kind of one of my favorite things is, like, I like connecting the dots between spots. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
I had a friend whose girlfriend did that and actually wanted to leave him because one of our friends had, like, freckles. She's like, I just want to draw on them. And he's like, and the freckly friend is like, I'm not interested, but thank you.
Yeah. And scars, you know, I usually tend to find scars very interesting.
I had an experience. For some reason, we had someone in my house had a subscription to Playboy. Like, it came every month. And there's one issue where they had, like, girls from other countries. And there was some, like, little, I think, Japanese woman. And I'm like, wait, small breasts? Small breasts are still an option.
Right, right.
I'm like, wait a minute here.
Yes.
She looks really good. Like, and because it was all, like, you know, these double D airbrush breasts. And I'm like, wait.
Right.
But small breasted and cute is still something I can have. Like, you can grow up and you can still have small breasted and cute.
Yeah, that was, and actually, like in my, I always kind of, and until, you know, similarly, like, until I actually saw that body type, like, I didn't know why I was kind of turned off by the opposite. Because, like, I don't know, there's something that's always kind of bothered me about, like, the Baywatch sort of
body. Yeah, I was never interested in that.
No, it's kind of distressing. But but then again, like, well, okay, so see, that maybe that would be an interesting topic for a different show. Because, like, just the nature of attractivity. Because, you know, at the same time, like, even though that's... it took a while to make the connection between, even though that's not something I'm into, or just because somebody doesn't have or has a body type I'm not into, that also doesn't mean that, like, you don't have to attach negative connotations to that.
Yeah.
But it is also kind of weird because, like, you know, it's weird bridging that gap between, you know, your physical experience with a person and your mental experience with a person, and like there being a disconnect. Because, like, can you, if you're not attracted to somebody's physical form, but you're kind of attracted to their mental form, is that something that you can overcome? And, like, how much are you obligated to try to overcome a lack of interest in the physical structure? I don't know. It's one of those things that I find kind of an interesting question, because it's really hard, because it's, you know, you don't want to tell somebody that you have to, like, you know, force yourself to get over it, but you also, you know, you also definitely don't want to say, like, it's wrong to have this body type, or you don't, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. Well, and I've dated people who have eating disorders, and that's terrible. Like, I'd much rather, like, have the body you genetically have.
Right.
Just
yeah.
Don't be miserable.
Well, yeah, and
you know. I know as a man, like, you know, honey, you can have a dessert. Like, you're fine. Like, right. You have to feel that for yourself. You have to love yourself, not just be performing for a man one way or another.
Right. So the question of, like, you know, how I don't know, where does the difficulty come in, like, telling somebody to be, you know, comfortable in their own body, even if it's, like, not something you prefer. I've definitely experienced the thing of, you know, being with somebody that's not necessarily my type, or, like, they don't, you know, they don't set off the little sparks or whatever of, you know, immediate physical attraction, but, you know, you become invested in the person, the more attractive they become to you, because you know you're associating their features with the things you like about them.
Positive experiences with positive,
right. But I do wonder, like, what, you know, where the limits of that are, because, like, there's definitely, you know, I always like to do it, like, I have a pretty wide spectrum of, like, you know, attractive features or things that I find attractive, but there are definitely hard limits beyond which, you know, negative attraction happens. And I don't know, it always kind of bugs me, because it is one of those weird thoughts of, like, what if, you know, somebody who would be perfect for me is, like, in a body type that does not at all interest me. I don't know, or I guess, like the philosophical moral questions of it are interesting to me, because they're so hard to kind of wrap my head around on what the right answer would be, if there could be one.
So what now, sirs?
Final thoughts.
T-Dog. All right. Let me go on. John Green is a hack, but you shouldn't hack at him. I'm okay with women on our money. I just hope that it's a good woman they put on there. You know, one that makes sense. Rachel Dolezal probably should speak to a therapist and probably, like, a press agent, because you know her book's going to come out soon. And I think she needs to figure herself out and, you know, have someone who tells her what to do.
She'll be fine, though.
Yeah. Caitlyn Jenner, I don't really know much about. I probably wouldn't have been able to point Bruce Jenner out in a lineup prior. And I still am fuzzy. Was he a vigor skater? And it's okay.
Wasn't
when it's
he a
Bruce,
football
he...
player or something?
See,
he was an Olympian. I don't remember if it was, like,
see?
In a specific
But now
thing.
Caitlyn Jenner is famous for being Caitlyn Jenner, which is good at 65. Two more years, then we're done with her. But trans people, feel free, be comfortable. Find people who love you. You deserve love.
You have allies.
Yes.
You know, we try not to be assholes, but we're white people, so it's hard not to be sometimes.
Yeah.
You know. We're,
I'm feminine, but I'm still cis. It's difficult.
Yeah. We're trying.
We are trying.
Some of us are trying.
I don't want ally points or anything. I just want you to know that we're trying.
Well, actually, if you could punch my card a couple of times, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm really close to a free coffee or whatever.
If by that you mean you'll punch their card.
If you know what I mean, and I don't.
If you get my ribald insinuation.
A-Dog, final thoughts.
I would like to have had a binder at some point in my life. Because it'd be cool, because boobs get in the way.
It's never too late.
Sports bras.
That's right. You could live that dream.
I basically wear, not sports bras, but I don't wear shapely bras. I pretty much wear tank tops.
This is true. D-Dog?
I'm still mostly delighted that I can abbreviate the two of you as T and A in my texts, and it's entertaining for me.
Ta-ta for now.
Ah! I see what you did there.
T-A-T-A. Ta-ta.
Yeah.
That's also true, but I meant tits and ass, you know.
Bye!